This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. What's the fallout from this week's recall elections? GOP Governor Scott Walker and Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish survived, but Democrats in the Wisconsin Senate may have gained one seat they needed to control the legislature. Now, they may share power with Republicans who control the Assembly. Joining me today to talk about what all this means for Wisconsin and La Crosse area politics is a panel of local political experts. UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim, La Crosse County Republican Party Chair Julian Bradley, and Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Joe, I want to start with you. I know you've been making the rounds this week, but I was wondering if you can just explain what all of this means, what the outcome of the recall means for Wisconsin and for the nation.
Well, first of all, everybody's sighing a sigh of relief here in Wisconsin. I think I can speak for the majority on that one, that I think people, when it's all over with, people are going, oh, God, I'm glad this is over with. And, of course, we will jump into an election cycle in August, and so it's not going to be very long before we get out of that. Anyway, the significance of it and what it all means, well, it's the end of a major historical period in Wisconsin. I think we are going to look back at this period historically 10, 20, 30 years from now, and it'll be very identifiable. The only period that's been even close to this in the history of the state, in my opinion, is the progressive era of the early 20th century, when the progressives passed a whole series of legislative changes that had enormous, including, by the way, initiative referendum and recall. That's where this originated, believe it or not. And that's why I've had to explain why we are even doing this sort of stuff. But what's happened in the last year in Wisconsin has been of major historical significance, a shift in the direction of the state. And what the election did Tuesday was a reaffirmation, essentially, of saying that the public accepted the changes that occurred over the last year and were not willing to undo them. More than most elections, I think this was somewhat of at least a referendum on the past, on what Governor Walker and the Republicans did in the legislature. And the politicians may or may not have liked it, but the fact is the public essentially said it was okay. Now, some people may or may not have liked the specifics of it, but I think a substantial number of people did not think recall was the right way to try to undo that. So it's a major historical change, major shift in direction, and I don't think a lot's going to change over the next couple of years, regardless of circumstances.
And Democrats and Republicans were both energized about this race. In La Crosse County, 68% of voters actually turned out to vote. What was it that was bringing people to the polls?
Well, I think both parties did not let anybody forget that there was an election coming up. And I was asked, what are people doing? I don't like to talk about get-out-the-vote drives. Each party does their own stuff. In their different ways. But both of them have major ways of getting people out. Going door to door, canvassing, phone banks, direct mail, plus an avalanche of TV ads, which I don't know if anybody got up on Tuesday morning saying, "What? Oh, there's an election today." I just don't think there are too many people. Now, many may not have gotten to the polls, but the fact is, the get out the vote drive really worked. What was sort of interesting in a sense is that the Government Accountability Board has a hard time predicting this type of an election, and they've been wrong twice now this year in terms of turnout. I think the way I understood it, the state turnout was around 57%, which is notably higher than the highest we've ever had for a gubernatorial race, which I think is around 52-53%, but not as close as we've had at the presidential level, which is, I think, in the low to mid-70s. We've actually hit that at one. Typically, presidential are 65-67% in Wisconsin, which, by the way, is in the top five in the country. So we had a good turnout, a substantially good turnout, not quite as fabulous as some people thought.
Julian Bradley, I want to turn to you next. You're chair of the La Crosse County Republican Party. Scott Walker, Governor Walker, defeated the recall and is still governor. He took the state of Wisconsin, but in La Crosse County, where voters elected him in 2010, it shifted towards Barrett this time. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, Governor Walker narrowly won in 2010 in La Crosse County. It was 117 votes he won La Crosse County by. So it was a very slim margin to begin with. And he lost the county by, I believe it was around 2,000 votes. So considering how energized both sides were, and we have a lot of teachers in our district and in our county, the anticipation was that, you know, he may actually lose the county, but by a much larger margin. So we were actually pretty satisfied at a 51-49 split. It just means we have a lot more work to do, and the governor has more work to do in La Crosse County.
I must say, every time I drove by your headquarters on Copeland Avenue there, I mean, it seemed like there was always at least a few people on the phone, if not more.
Yeah, that was a big part of our Get Out the Vote, and our educational effort was to contact people. And I'm sure people are glad the calls have stopped now. But, you know, we want to make as many contacts as we can to let people know what's going on.
Julian, other than the teachers, because people have asked me this question, too. Why did La Crosse shift slightly between 2 years ago and now? And I did think of that, but I'd like to know a little bit more about what other things that you might have thought might explain that.
Sure. The other contributing factor, and I think this is a major contributing factor, is La Crosse generally does lean Democrat. So in 2010, it's widely well known that it was a Republican wave across the state, and I think that helped Governor Walker, then candidate Walker, in 2010. And, you know, with waves, they go up, they go down. So I think as things went back towards the left, we saw those results here in La Crosse County.
But interestingly enough, in other counties in the area, ones that voted for Barrett in 2010 voted for Walker this time. In Trempealeau, Crawford, and Eau Claire, Green also, but I just wanted to talk about ones in our area. Was that surprising to any of you?
I was a bit surprised by it. I was surprised that we were able to stay as close as we were in La Crosse County. I didn't know that Western Wisconsin in general would do as well as we did for Governor Walker. It's very difficult to really anticipate, you know, how the turnout is going to go. I know that personally I looked at a lot of presidential results to try to anticipate what the turnout could be and how the votes could break down for La Crosse County in this recall effort. And, of course, we looked at our own 32nd Senate district with Ann Kopanky to see how things may go. But there was no exact science, so we just had to do the best we could and try to motivate people to get out to vote.
And Representative Jill Billings, obviously Barrett did not win the election, but he did carry La Crosse County. Are you happy with the Democrats' efforts to get Barrett elected, or what could have been done differently for a different outcome?
Well, I'm not going to armchair quarterback what happened on Tuesday. I saw a lot of good energy and people working really hard from the moment that they were collecting signatures for the recall petition up until the day of the election. And it did pay off in La Crosse County, which did go for, as you said, did go for Barrett, where previously they had voted for Walker by 115 votes in 2010. And then Barrett won by 2,027 votes with this last election. There were a couple counties that flipped, like La Crosse County did. Kenosha County and Columbia County also flipped. And as you said, Crawford, Eau Claire, Green, and Trempealeau flipped the opposite way, where they had been Barrett supporters before and went for Governor Walker. I don't know, Eau Claire County could be possibly the Senate recall, that maybe there was effort there to try to hold that Senate seat and more effort was put in that county. But Wisconsin is a divided state, and so I think it just shows that we have to just, you know, keep working to pay attention to voters, and that's a message for me.
And even though there was high turnout, do you all think that this energy and enthusiasm will carry into the presidential race? And even after the presidential race this fall, how do you keep the momentum going? How do you keep people interested in politics? Julian Bradley?
I'll start. I really hope it keeps going. I hope the momentum keeps going. I love seeing, as a political science student, I love studying it, and I love being a part of the process. So I really hope that we can keep people engaged. You know, this was history-making. It was unfortunate, in my opinion, but it was history-making. It was a good lesson to learn for all parties, and I think it would be great if we could keep the momentum going. People are tired, though. You know, voter fatigue has especially hit this area. You know, take a couple of days off and then, you know, find a candidate that speaks to you and try to get back involved. And my job as a county chairman is to reach out to not just our general populace, our conservative populace, but to, you know, just people that I meet and especially our volunteers, and try to keep them energized and keep them involved and engaged.
And Representative Billings?
I'm looking forward to the November elections. I'm excited about them. I know that in the Assembly we have candidates running in 97 of the 99 seats. And I think that's exciting. It's exciting for Wisconsin. So I think November will be, it'll be good to get past November and then see what we can do with a new situation in Madison. I think that people right now are, as Julian said, are tired, and they want an end to this polarization. And so I'm hopeful that the governor will follow his pledge and work more on a basis of trying to find consensus and work together with everyone.
And Joe Heim, you know, if people do start getting along better, Democrats and Republicans do start to find common ground, you know, you sort of lose that sense of drama. Will people continue to pay attention?
Well, your premise is that that they're going to all get along soon.
Well, that's what they're all saying.
Yeah, what's that old line about talk to talk, walk to walk? I think that's what the important thing is. I've heard on the night of the election, both the governor and Mayor Barrett said some nice things that had to be said, you know, to calm things down a little bit. But I think it's going to take a lot more than that.
And actually, I'd like to play a clip. As you said, both Mayor Barrett and Governor Walker said, you know, they want to start getting along. Governor Walker has an initial plan that seems to be a way to sort of loosen things up in the state.
In fact, next week, I'm going to invite all the members of the state legislature, Republican and Democrat alike. And what better way to bring people together than to invite them over for some brats and some burgers, right? And maybe a little bit of good Wisconsin beer as well.
Joe Heim, the solution to the problem, is it brats and beer in Wisconsin?
Anything helps. My thinking is you can't just do it by one thing. Somebody asked me, they said, well, what if you put together one big bill and get a compromise package together of some sort? Well, it's not just going to be one big bill. It can't just be one. It's going to be a series of small steps, in my opinion. And it isn't just one person. It's not just the governor. He's the leader of his party. Barrett, I guess, is the leader of the Democrats. But essentially, it's going to be a series of small steps to rebuild trust between the two parties. And it's going to take time. I actually think that former governors could play a role in this as well. Some of the, what I use the phrase, the gray hairs of the parties could step in and help calm this down and say, we've got to get back together and for the good of the state of Wisconsin. So I'm sort of hoping that former governors and high-level officials that are now semi-retired or whatever can jump back in and say, you know, do what they can, because people respect these people. So but it's going to take a lot of little small steps. It's not going to happen overnight.
And Representative Billings, have you received your invitation yet? Do you know what you'll be bringing?
Hot off the press. I received the invitation today at 12:30 via email. And so legislators are invited along with spouses and two staff people. Now, I only have one staff person, so she's invited twice, I guess. But
if you're looking for a volunteer, I'd love to go.
We already have I would take my other already.
I would actually take my two children if I could have the option of that, because I think hopefully this will be a positive step. Some people have said, will you go? You shouldn't go. And my answer is I absolutely will go. I'm trying to clear my calendar right now because I think it is a small step. As Professor Heim said, I think we need to take those small steps. When I was sworn in, my children were with me, and they were great ambassadors. Coincident, they just happened to be great ambassadors for me. As people in the legislature met my kids, they said, what great children you have. And I became more than just a Democratic label. I became a person. And when I was offered a few minutes to speak at the podium, I tried to extend a hand of thanks to people who had welcomed me on both sides of the aisle in the Assembly. And I think those small steps lead to bigger things. After that, legislators would stop and talk to me in the hallway, where they don't do that with not all members of both parties do that, but I had good relationships with some on the other side of the aisle, along with my colleagues on my side of the aisle. And I think because of that, I was able to pass the Scenic Byways Bill with help from both sides of the aisle. So I think these small things can snowball into people working together. Certainly, not showing up and not speaking to the other side is not going to help the cause at all. So I'm going to be there if I can be there.
You're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are State Representative Jill Billings. She's a Democrat from La Crosse. La Crosse County Republican Party Chair Julian Bradley, and UW-La Crosse political scientist Professor Joe Heim. I'm wondering if we can go back to Election Day. There were a number of media outlets taking exit polls, and it showed that President Obama had about the same lead in Wisconsin as those who supported Governor Walker. Joe Heim, what do you make of that?
I thought it was pretty fascinating. The polls, by the way, showed that, you know, 3-4 weeks ago that I think if I'm picking out the Marquette poll of about 3 weeks ago, I think it had the governor ahead by about 5 to 6 points, and it had the president ahead by about 7 or 8 points, something like that. So what it really means is people are splitting their vote, which is not uncommon in Wisconsin. A lot of people do walk in and vote for a Democrat than a Republican. So I didn't find that unusual at all. Apparently about 17% of the people who voted for the governor not to be recalled said they were going to vote for Obama in the fall, which I found kind of interesting. It tells you that people are thinking differently. There's a bit of an irony here. I don't know if this fits, but I have to at least say it. Both Obama and Walker are going to be running on the same platform.
What do you mean by that?
They both are going to say jobs are getting better, unemployment is coming down, statistics are coming down, my plan is working. And it struck me the other day, I thought, wait a minute, this is kind of strangely inconsistent in a certain way, but yet, in a sense, they're both, they may very well be both successful in the same way. And part of the reason for this is, I think, has to do with optimism. Wisconsin does have lower unemployment than the national numbers, but there's also, and there's, you know, poll numbers ask, you know, how are you doing, and not too good, but they ask about the future. And one of the things that strikes me is that a majority of people in Wisconsin are optimistic about the future next year. They're going to financially, they're going to be better off, and they see the economy getting better. That worked for governor and should work for the president as well. Now, whether that really happens in November remains to be seen.
Julian Bradley, were you hearing from fellow Republicans that, or independents, or even Democrats, people who voted for Walker who do plan on voting for President Obama this fall?
No, I wasn't. But I do have a theory as to why the president is polling so well, and Governor Walker also. And I believe it comes down to really the media buy and the exposure that the candidates for president have had as opposed to the candidates for governor. Every time you turn on the television, especially local television, you could see an ad for Governor Walker and some ads for Governor Barrett. And you're not seeing a lot from Governor Romney, the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. And I think that's because by the time he got to Wisconsin, and you know, he was really in and out because it was just down to he and Santorum, and Ron Paul is still around as well. So I think that people haven't really gotten to meet. Wisconsin's very local as it pertains to politics. They like to meet the candidates. They like to get to talk to them. And Governor Romney hasn't done as much as he can, and I think he will do, to really expose himself to the people of Wisconsin, to meet them, shake their hands, and do the parades, and maybe have some brats and beer and hamburgers with people. And I think as soon as the governor gets more established here in the state of Wisconsin, I think his numbers will improve greatly.
I think the message to take from this is that I heard so many people saying this is going to be an indicator of what's going to happen in November, and that the message is that those people didn't know what they were talking about. I think it's hard to compare a recall and a regular election, where there were some people who supported Governor Walker because they just didn't like the idea of recall. With the Obama-Romney race, it's a different race. It's a different animal.
I agree with that.
Looking into the fall then, too, maybe you all get about a week off before starting to concentrate on the fall elections. But even locally, Congressman Kind and candidate Ray Boland will be running for Congress. When do you start preparing for that, and when do you start preparing for the presidential race?
Julian Bradley?
I think both campaigns have already begun.
They're slowly starting to...
Right. You know, the attention was on the recall. That was a national news story. It was a world news story. So rather than compete with, you know, the election at hand, I think all of the candidates took a back seat, let the recall race play out. And I firmly believe that they'll be, you know, full steam ahead very soon. So.
And Representative Billings, do you have any sense from the Democrats?
I agree. I agree with Julian. I think that campaigns kind of went on a low speed so that the focus and energy could be on the recall races and the state conventions this weekend. So for sure, people will be gearing up and just starting off out of the blocks with renewed energy and hopes for good victories in November.
And even the state Senate race with Republican Bill Fian and Democrat Jill Billing, or excuse me, Jennifer Schilling, you are Jill Billings. I mean, is that going to become as heated as the recall or even the election before that, Johan?
I hope not. I don't see that repeating itself for a long time. At the level of animosity was just extraordinary. I think we all know that. We're going to have some interesting races in the fall, however. The U.S. Senate race is going to be one of the highlights of the fall. Whoever the nominee is for the Republican side, you know, the Ron Kind, Ray Boland race should be pretty good. And I think the 32nd is now in play a little bit more. You know, we were talking about what the meaning is. The 32nd is virtually a tie between the mayor and the governor. They were within less than 50 votes, believe it or not, when you added it up. Some friend of mine did that, so I didn't know what. 42, okay. Well, it tells you that to me, that means the 32nd Senate district is up for grabs, that could be an extremely competitive race.
But there was no sense in anyone jumping in until the recall was over. Or really, really heating up their candidacy.
I think that people are kind of laying low on this stuff. The recall, that had to play itself out. Anybody jumping into that and trying to compete against that was making a big mistake. By the way, I got to sneak in a question.
Yes.
I'm curious about what both of our guests think about the fact that President Obama did not come to Wisconsin during the recall. What is your interpretation of it, and did you think it was a good or bad idea? That's kind of an inside political thing to ask. Can I ask
I was going to say, should we also ask why presidential candidate Mitt Romney also didn't come?
He did.
Oh, he did come. That's right.
He was campaigning for the primary. I'll defer the President Obama question to Representative Billings. I can say that as things turned out, you know, we're obviously happy with the way the election turned out. So I wouldn't change anything, I guess, if that was part of the question.
Billings?
I have no inside information on the strategies from the Obama campaign. But I think that this is a message to the Obama campaign that Wisconsin is in play. But I think that's already understood by them. And that they're going to have a good ground game here in Wisconsin. And I know they're gearing up to that. So,
but how much of a difference would it have made if President Obama did come?
I think most people think not much at all. I really don't think that endorsements of that sort, that's my opinion. People in Wisconsin have never been overwhelmed by endorsements. Well, you know, I was thinking of voting for so-and-so, but Ray Boland was now endorsed by, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. And I don't think people are affected much by it. It adds a little bit of pizzazz to an election. But the reason I asked that question has become it's a national question of why didn't Obama come? Did it help or hurt? Did he know something? I mean, it's kind of the inside politics stuff. But the White House obviously made a decision that they were not going to be net winners by coming to Wisconsin. And conceivably, they could have been criticized because if he didn't, you know, as the results turned out that Mayor Barrett didn't win. So it may have been politically wise for him not to come, but yet, on the other hand, I'm sure some Democrats aren't real happy about that decision.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. We'll continue to the discussion about the aftermath of Wisconsin's recall elections in just a moment. Our guests include UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim, Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and La Crosse County Republican Party Chair Julian Bradley. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse. Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. This is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. We continue our discussion about where politics is headed in Wisconsin after the upheaval of recall elections in the past year. Our guests today are La Crosse County Republican Party Chair Julian Bradley, Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and UW-La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim. In the 21st State Senate District, Democrat John Lehman appears to have defeated Republican incumbent Van Wangard, but there's still no official word due to some voting glitches in Racine County, and Van Wangard has not conceded yet. If it turns out that Lehman did win, Democrats would control the state Senate. I'm wondering what sort of difference this is going to make for Wisconsin if this happens. Joe Heim?
Nothing.
Why is that? Everyone keeps saying that, we'll have a balance of power.
They're not going to meet between now and next January. And if the Democrats in the Senate wanted to call a special session, they have to have the okay of the Assembly, which is not going to happen. So I didn't expect that to happen, frankly. It's the degree to which I could even identify anything that's going to affect it's, by the way, it's a morale thing. You know, at least the Democrats can walk away and say, at least we took over the state Senate. Net gain was 3 seats, you know, from the recall. So there's something to take away. Everybody gets a little bit out of an election. But as far as long-term impact, I think it's almost nil because the November elections are going to conceivably change everything anyway, the new districts, et cetera. So I don't see a lot of change. The only possible gem of change is if the Joint Finance Committee meets between now and December. You would then have an even number of Democrats and Republicans on that committee. But they don't really make a lot of decisions this time of year anyways. Am I right about that? I was wondering,
Jill Billings, have you heard any talks of any sort of special session related to jobs or even mining?
No, I haven't. And in fact, this is not a huge it's a victory for the Dems, and as Professor Heim said, it gives a moral boost, and it stops the governor from calling a special session, and he could still call a special session, but then there are better checks and balances, and so I think that's a positive that comes out of this, you know, November is so close, and then it'll be a whole new ball game.
Why is the resistance to a special session?
Well, it's not a normal manner of procedure, and you know the governor could call a special session, but I think with a Senate that's democratically controlled, he's likely to not do that. I did hear him state, I think it was yesterday, that he's going to be working with his administration to see what they can do with administrative rules to create changes without the legislature. So I'm guessing that's where he's going to go.
And Julian Bradley, are there any rumblings within the Republican Party about the possibility that, you know, they could lose the power in the Senate?
Well, kind of what Professor Heim said, there isn't expected to be any special sessions. They generally don't meet now until next year. So there hasn't been anything that's come down to me anyway.
I'm wondering if we can talk about what could go on if the Democrats did keep controlling the Senate, even after November, then next time around, as we go into looking into the next budget, will there be a change in Wisconsin? Who has their crystal ball out?
Well, the first thing that absolutely has to happen, they're going to pass a budget next spring. And if you've got a Senate controlled by the Democrats, Assembly, most people think the Assembly will stay in Republican hands. That means they absolutely would have to compromise with the governor and the parties together to get a budget passed, which, frankly, they didn't have to do this last year. Whether they would undo things of the past, I doubt that. You know, let's say, for example, the Democrats pushed into the to their version of the budget, repeal of the collective bargaining issues. The Assembly's not going to go with that. And if it did happen, the governor would veto it anyway. So you're not going to see a lot of substantial changes that of the laws and the statutes that have occurred over the last year or so. So anything new is going to have to – would have to require a compromise between the two parties. Not unheard of. They've done it in the past, and maybe they can do it again.
I think if the Senate stays in Democratic hands, it would be a positive thing for Wisconsin. It would create moderation. And I think people in Wisconsin like moderation. It's interesting what happened with that race in the 21st, where the voters voted for Governor Walker, but they voted to recall their senator. So I think that, to me, that's an indicator that people like the checks and balances. They don't like having all the marbles in one party's hands. So I think it would be very positive if the Senate stayed in the hands of the Democrats. It would be, a more pleasant place for me to be working.
And from the Republicans' perspective, of course, each party wants to keep control of all. But what's your take on it, Julian Bradley?
Well, if the Senate were to stay in the Democratic hands, I think it would give the governor a great opportunity and our legislators to, walk that walk. You know, you said you were going to compromise, you're going to reach across the aisle, you're going to make sure everybody's included. It provides that opportunity to do so. But I think that's going to happen regardless. I think the Senate will most likely flip back to the Republican side in 2012, and I think 2012 will be another successful Republican year. But I think you will see a lot more communication from the top down, from Governor Walker to the Assemblymen to the Senators. And I think they'll make sure that everybody's included, that the people have had a chance to voice their opinion, and that it's they feel valued. And I think that was a big part of what caused this recall issue, was that things moved very quickly and it got very divisive very quickly.
And Representative Billings, I'm wondering what you've been hearing around the legislature about the future of recalls. Obviously, some legislators stepped up and said, we need to make a change. We need to make sure this does not happen again. What have you been hearing?
Well, I think, under our current law, this was an appropriate action. It was a grassroots campaign where working families felt like they weren't being listened to, and they made their voices heard. So I think it was something that was allowed. There are people, some who would like to change that. Whether that will, it depends, again, on what happens with the Senate and whose hands that stays in. And I think maybe after people to have a chance to step back from this recall and the emotions and study it a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how it will come out, but certainly if the Senate stays in Republican hands, it will probably, that law will change.
I would hope the law changes. We do disagree there. I don't think that there was enough basis for this recall. I think recalls should be really based on criminal conduct, not just a vote that you don't like. Jill Billings is my representative, and I would not recall you, nor would I sign a recall for a vote that you made that I did not like. So I certainly hope that does change.
Well, I believe that this went beyond one vote. It was a matter of how things were done. We've had governors that have taken votes that have not pleased residents in Wisconsin in the past. I think that procedure wasn't followed, that open, transparent government wasn't followed in the way that people in Wisconsin are used to. And it got people upset. And in fact, the governor said if he could go back and do things differently, he would.
No, go ahead.
I don't think when people were protesting, they weren't protesting the lack of following procedure. They were protesting because collective bargaining was stripped down to just, overpay. I don't think it was a procedural thing. I think it was one vote, and I think ultimately that's why it failed, because it was one vote. And I do know I personally spoke to a friend today that was a Democrat that signed the recall petition and did vote for Governor Walker because they did not like the recall process. They didn't think it was right to vote him out of office just because of one thing. The emotion subsided, and they realized that was not the stance that they believe in. So I do think it was a one-vote issue, and that's why I hope the process has changed.
And the recall was very emotional for many people. Joachim, do you see the process changing in the future so people don't have to go through this again?
It would take a constitutional change. I don't see it happening. I'm not sure about the recent polls, but a poll about 2 months ago asked people, do you like the idea that you have the opportunity to recall, not specifically to this race? And the majority of people said yes. In other words, the public saw it as, at least in a general sense, a philosophical sense. And by the way, this doesn't say anything about why, you know, why the recall, but it had to do with just the concept of it. And the public seemed to like the idea of a recall. Now, maybe when you get to specifics, it's not quite the same thing. It requires two consecutive legislative sessions changing that law, plus the approval of the public. And I just think that's a fairly high hurdle to change a constitution. I could see some modification of it, but frankly, it is not easy. Wisconsin does not. I think there are 19 states that have a recall. Wisconsin is one of the 9 or 10, I think, that do not have any requirement that you say why a person should be recalled. That's sort of up to the public. But I really don't see the circumstances. Going out and raising, you know, 600,000-700,000 signatures is not easy. You have to have an army of volunteers to do that, and I just don't see that happening very often, especially at the gubernatorial level. So I'm less, I won't say optimistic, but I just don't think it's likely going to change. I know the legislature could have started the process this year and didn't make it through the legislature, which is controlled by the Republicans. Robin Voss had a proposal to modify to start the process of modifying the Constitution and never made it to the floor even.
You're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are UW-La Crosse political science professor Joe Heim, State Representative Jill Billings, a Democrat from La Crosse, and La Crosse County Republican Party Chair Julian Bradley. As everyone talks and preaches about working together more in bipartisanship, what do you see as key issues that Democrats and Republicans can start working together on immediately? Jill Billings, I mean, you've talked about your scenic byways bill and how that was a success. And, you know, that's something that people on both sides can get behind. But what do you want to work on with fellow Republicans?
Well, I think that something that we can both agree on is that job creation is important, that moving forward with our economy is important. So I think we've been asking, in fact, Democrats have been asking for months to let's take a closer look at that and see what we can do about job creation. And we should be doing better at that.
And we hear that from both sides. And, you know, I hear the same message from Democrats and Republicans, but I can't understand why they can't seem to find that common ground over the same topic and idea.
Well, in the Assembly, I'm far in the minority. So it's hard to control that agenda. Some people tell me it was a miracle that I got the scenic byways bill passed. I haven't checked these numbers, but somebody said out of 280-some pieces of legislation, there were 6 that were Democratic-sponsored, and 1 was the scenic byways bill. So,
and you were a freshman.
And I was a freshman, yes. And I think in some ways that was a blessing that I entered later and didn't have that hardness of heart that people on both sides had. And I don't judge them for that because it was an extraordinary time and they were working in an extraordinary environment. But for me, it was wonderful to enter when I did and be able to do what we do in Western Wisconsin, where we work together in government, where we are respectful of each other. And that was a nice thing I was able to bring and actually get something done. And it didn't come easy, I have to tell you. It was almost derailed twice. But I just kept working at it and working at it. It was a great learning experience. And I hope to do more.
And Julian Bradley, as far as job creation and, you know, improving the deficit, what can Democrats and Republicans do? Where is that middle ground in working together?
You know what? I think it starts with going to the governor's invite, accepting his invite, showing up, and getting everybody in a room together, letting the past be the past. I mean, we kind of touched on this earlier. But, you know, healing is a process. It's called a process for a reason. It doesn't just happen overnight. And so let things cool off a little bit over the summer, you know, hopefully before they pick back up for the next set of elections. But, you know, and then get everybody together, get in a room, and try to talk it out. You know, you'll always have a differencing of opinions. You get enough people together, you're going to have enough different opinions on how to do something. As long as all of our elected officials remember why they're there, which is for us, the people. And I think they all, Democrats and Republicans alike, I think we all have the people at heart. That's what they do. Keeping that in mind, getting everybody together, putting everything behind them, I think they'll be able to find that common ground. It may come in casual conversation. Just, that's something I would like to work on with you. Maybe we can do that. It just takes that first step. And I think putting this behind us and getting there, we'll do that.
Joe Heim, post recall, will compromise come easy?
It's going to take time. It's taken years to get to this point, and I think it's probably going to take years to get away from it. I remember last fall being down at the Capitol more than a few times, and you'd walk in the Capitol and say, "Have things calmed down around here yet?" No. A month later, "Have things calmed down around here yet?" No. I mean, it was clear it wasn't, the dust hadn't settled yet, and I just think it's going to take more time than we think. Politics has become fairly divisive in Wisconsin as well as elsewhere, and unfortunately, Wisconsin's moved in the same direction. So I'm not as optimistic. I just think it's going to take a lot of time. And frankly, the leaders have to lead here. The leaders of the legislature have to lead here. The leaders of the state have to lead.
How so?
They've got to be the ones reaching out, and not just reaching out, orally, but
taking the lead on compromise.
Taking the lead, yeah. I for example, thought, we were talking about what they could compromise on. I thought that the mining bill was a perfect possibility for compromise. At least what I understood, the Democrats had made some proposals about how to compromise to put together a bill that would improve the potential for mining. We have some pretty tough regulations in the state of Wisconsin on mining. It goes back a long time, but it has a lot to do with the way mines operate in the state, centuries ago, practically. But there's certainly room for improvement, and I think everybody knows it. And the question is, why can't we compromise on it? And at the time of it, when this occurred, the parties just were unwilling to move. And I think part of it is maybe they saw it as a campaign issue that they could run on. But it's also eminently compromisable to me. So that's the one area that I think both sides would like to see something happen, and maybe it could.
What other issues are there that Democrats and Republicans can agree on besides jobs and the economy?
Well, I'm going to say education, throw that in. Both sides talk about the importance of education for the future of the state. We disinvested in education in the last budget, and you could argue about why, but it was frankly perceived to be necessary because it was a very tight budget year. It was. But as things get loosened up a little bit, I'd like to hope that both sides would recognize the importance of education for the future of the state of Wisconsin.
And not just K-12, but even schools and the universities and
Absolutely.
Colleges.
Absolutely. Short-term jobs basically come from the tech school system. And they were one of the bottom. I think they were cut more than any other single major entity in the state of Wisconsin. The UW system was cut historically the most. Governor Doyle, by the way, cut the university substantially as well. So we've been on the bad end of the cuts, frankly, for some time. But I really think for the long-term future of the state of Wisconsin, we have to reinvest in education at all levels.
Representative Billings, did you want to add anything?
I agree. I think that's something that we should be able to work together on, making sure that our public schools, our university system, technical college system is strong and funded. Affordable, accessible health care should be something that we should be able to work on together, and certainly working on ensuring that we have open, transparent government.
And Julian Bradley, you're nodding your head.
Well, I agree. I think we all agree. I mean, these are fundamentals to any society. You need these things, education. I firmly believe that we have to stop sacrificing tomorrow just to get through today. That comes from a business background. It comes through any background. You can't just say, okay, we'll deal with it tomorrow. We have to start looking into tomorrow as well. We need to get through today, but we also need to look into tomorrow, and that's where education comes in. And I think that's a great place to start. I think that's a great place to try to work together. Obviously, the governor and the Republican Assembly and the Senate had an idea on how to work on that for this last budget, and there will be another budget and more opportunity for people to speak their opinions and try to get the changes made. As far as compromise and making the changes, not only at the leaders for the assembly and the Senate and the governor, I think it comes down to the party level, the county level. I think it's important for all of us from county chairs, assemblymen, assemblywomen, assembly people, there we go, senators, et cetera. I think it's important for us all to, you know, continue to show that we are leading by example. Don't just say it, but actually do it. Try to reach across the aisle. Try to work with everybody as much as you can. You know, try to discontinue damaging property, yard signs, and other childish things, and just get it behind us, and let's move forward.
I think what another key element to this is something that Professor Heim talked about earlier, too, is that leadership has to lead by example, and they have to release some of the stranglehold on members so that members are able to vote what's best for their districts. I talked to people in the Capitol in the months that I was there, and there were members of the Republican Party where I would see outside of the assembly, I would say, oh, I wish you could have voted for that amendment. What was it about the amendment that you couldn't support? And there was often pressure put on by leadership. And I think it's vitally important that leadership ends that sort of divisive agenda and tries to find common ground and allows their members to have the freedom to vote for their districts.
Representative Billings, you're coming up on almost your first year in the assembly. What's it been like for you?
This has been a...
It was quite the time to join.
Right. When I ran for office, my mother said, are you sure you want to do this right now? But I am an optimist, and I think that things can only get better, and they will get better. This is a job that it sounds cliche, but I am honored to do this job. I so appreciate my district, the people who live here, the geographical beauty of my district. I'm so proud to represent the 95th. And this job has been an amazing learning experience. I feel like I've been well prepared for it because of my county board experience. So it's been a good fit. It's been a comfortable move, challenging, but good. And I look forward to another term in this job.
And Julian Bradley, you've been chair of the La Crosse County Republican Party for a few months now.
Yes.
Also an interesting time to step up, but how's
it
been for you?
It's been, as somebody that enjoys politics, it's been great to, it's been, I don't know about great, but it's been interesting, to say the least, to see everything, especially with all of the elections. I remember when I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. I was so excited, and I never thought I would vote something like 13 times in 2 years. So it ended up far surpassing my expectations as a young child. But it's been... you know, really a great learning experience, a great learning process. I've met more people than ever before, even when I campaigned for myself previously. You're constantly talking to people, you're constantly meeting people, and you have a chance to be a voice and try to explain and express the thoughts and the viewpoints going on from other people within your party. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's been 2 months, I think, as chair, 3 months as chairman, and before that, a year and a half. I became chairman 4 days after Act 10 was introduced, or vice chairman, rather. And I remember thinking, well, vice chairman, they don't do too much. I'll be able to gradually learn, you know.
Yeah.
And, so it was a bit of a surprise, but it's been a great, absolutely great experience. And, you know, we feel pretty good after Tuesday. So we're just looking forward to moving forward.
I'm wondering if any of you have final brief thoughts on life after the recall in Wisconsin. Joe Heim?
Oh, boy. How do you wrap that up? I think the part that I talked earlier about the historical circumstances of the election, what sort of surprised me about this is how national and international this whole thing became. Wisconsin has been almost for a year now at the center of the political universe. Where you see the headline stories about Wisconsin and the major newspapers in America.
Top of the news hour on BBC on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and leading stories on cable news and things. You went, wow, this is not like Wisconsin. I think I might be happy to be back, you know, amongst the other 49 other states, because I think it's just unusual for the state. And I'm not sure it's really healthy either. I guess I won't go on any more than that, except to say I think this has been a fascinating, extraordinary period of time. There are people all around America that know about Wisconsin, and it isn't just beer and brats and the Packers. And and maybe that's good. Maybe we can market it somehow.
And Representative Billings, brief final thoughts?
Oh, mine's going to be not too very positive either, Joe. But one thing we didn't talk about was the influence of money in this recall election and just the millions and millions that flooded from outside of the state that truly affected this election is deeply troubling to me. And And I am hoping we could have some campaign reform.
And Julian Bradley, final thoughts.
Tuesday night, I said in all of my interviews, it was a night of celebration for us Tuesday night, but Wednesday, it was to start the healing process. And I firmly believe that, and that's what I'm trying to pass on to everybody that I can. It's time for us to heal. You know, we were in La Crosse County, we were under attack for a long time, across the state, Republicans were, you know, and the Democrats were as well for some of the things that have happened. It's time for us to move forward. That's what we want to do. It's state motto. Let's move forward. And I think we're all ready. I think everybody here at this panel is ready to move forward, and I'm sure everybody listening is. So it'll be interesting to see how forward goes, though.
So. Well, thank you all so much for joining me today. State Representative Jill Billings, a La Crosse Democrat, La Crosse County Republican Chair Julian Bradley, and UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim. We've been talking about what's next for Wisconsin politics following this week's unsuccessful recall of Republican Governor Scott Walker. Thank you for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.